The game is over. Your Bucks postgame show starts now. Welcome to Bucks Talk. Insight, analysis, and your chance to sound off on the game you just heard. Now to break it all down, here's your host, Justin Garcia.
Well, the final 24 minutes proved to be the most important minutes for the Bucks, whose defense was more dialed in, more connected in those final two quarters, holding the 76ers to just 44 points in the second half, and getting an important win tonight to start this stretch of play where you have five of your next six games, now four out of five, here in Milwaukee. So the schedule is still littered with teams that are not only playoff teams, but a lot of teams that are towards the top of their respective conferences in the standings. But you do have quite a few home games. And more importantly, you do not lose any ground in the loss column to, obviously, the Cleveland Cavaliers, but perhaps even more important, the New York Knicks. So the Bucks continuing to take steps towards walling off the Knicks, ensuring they will not finish any lower than third in the Eastern Conference. One is out of the picture right now with a 10-game separation in the loss column between the Bucks and the Boston Celtics. Even with two games left against the Celtics, you would need some monumental happenings to take place in order to catch Boston. But look, if it's a debate between two and three, I understand the value of having home court advantage. I don't know that it's ultimately important where the Bucks finish there. The most important part to me, and it always has been, is making sure you finish no lower than third. If you finish fourth, it means there is a very, very good potential for a second-round matchup with the Boston Celtics. I get the conversation that you have to beat good teams en route to an NBA championship, and that theoretically, if you're going to reach the finals, you would assume you're going to have to go through the Boston Celtics during your playoff run. Doesn't mean you want to do it in the second round. And that's what a fourth seed finish would bring the Bucks. In terms of who they're going to play in the first round, still a lot to be sorted out there. And I mentioned the possible worst-case scenario for a lot of Bucks fans. That does exist. And at this moment, it is the scenario that we would have. The Bucks are currently second in the East, and those two teams at 7-8, the Philadelphia 76ers and the Miami Heat. And we've heard more and more rumblings. Joel Embiid is going to make his return in time for the playoffs. I heard from some people with the 76ers today as well. That very much remains the belief. And look, even if he's not 100%, as a few people put it, he still gives us a puncher's chance. And what team wants to play that 76ers team in the first round as an underdog with Joel Embiid and the version of Tyrese Maxey that we saw through the first three quarters of this game tonight? 855-616-1620 is the number to join us this evening on Bucks Talk. As again, if there was the positives to take from this game, not if there was, there are some positives, but what you would really lean on is what you saw in those final 24 minutes. The defense from the Bucks, and especially in that fourth quarter. As Doc Rivers said in his postgame comments, look, if we're going to be asked what type of style would I rather play with this group, a mud wrestling match or a track meet, I'm going to choose getting in the mud with this group. And I didn't think we did that quite enough, not until the fourth quarter. It's been a common refrain we've heard from Doc Rivers these past couple of games when you think about getting the ball to Brook Lopez more. Brook Lopez hit five threes tonight. Brook Lopez had a terrific game this evening. But as Doc said, I didn't feel we were the more physical team. I didn't feel we were the tougher team. I felt like we were the team that was on the ground a lot more through the first three quarters. It changed in the fourth quarter where we finally started to lean on those things. And that's what the Bucks are blessed with. There are not a whole lot of teams, especially when you get Chris Middleton back on the floor, there are not a whole lot of teams out there that are as big or bigger than the Bucks. And we saw that a couple of times in the game tonight as well, especially late in this game, second half and fourth quarter, when you would get past Brook Lopez or Brook Lopez would step up to contest and you would think you had an opening, and then all of a sudden here comes Giannis, or vice versa, where there's two 7-footers when that duo is on the floor together, the Bucks have that can bring at you in waves to protect the rim. Very few teams can do that. You can point to the Minnesota Timberwolves, maybe not so much in the rim protection, but you can point to the Minnesota Timberwolves. You can point at times to teams like the Los Angeles Lakers, but the Bucks are one of those teams. Bobby Portis, another player in those lineups we've seen with Giannis and Brook and Bobby on the floor at the same time. They have the ability to be a big team and to be a tough physical team. We saw it when it mattered the most tonight. We probably did not see it enough. The other part of this game tonight, though, was, as Doc indicated, these games are always tough. Your first game back home after a road trip and your final game on the road during a road trip. Those two games can be tough. It can be difficult to keep focus. We heard that from Doc after the game against the Kings when he said, I heard some of the conversations taking place at shoot-around this morning, the morning of that game. I heard guys talking about flights, getting back to Milwaukee, and I immediately thought we better have better focus than this in the game tonight. He didn't think he saw that. Tonight, mentioned it after the game as well, I felt like this very much felt like a team that was just getting back home and needed a little more rest. We saw the Bucks actually essentially hold the shoot-around this afternoon, a rarity where they did not have their morning walkthrough and shoot-around. They put it off until this afternoon. They got together as a group here inside of Fiserv Forum 5 to 6 hours before the game, went through a shoot-around and session then, hours before the game. You don't see that happen all that often. And Doc Rivers said, because of that factor, because of coming off the road and especially coming from California and the West Coast and the time change and hours that you lose, didn't want to go through any of that in a morning session as this team was still getting reacclimated. And it took some time for this Bucks team to get warmed up. The hope is we've seen the Bucks struggle in afternoon games. And to be fair, we've seen a lot of teams struggle and get off to slow starts in afternoon games. But I don't know if you'll be afforded that luxury in your next game Sunday against a better offense in the Phoenix Suns. Now, you wouldn't have known it looking at the first half and the way the 76ers played tonight. But it's a very good Phoenix Suns offense. So you do not have that luxury. You do not have as much margin for error where you can't get off to a start where you are not connected to the levels we saw in the first half of this evening. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. When we return, we'll take a look at the updated standings, went through what these scenarios are, but what are the possibilities here for the Bucks? I mentioned that separation that they're starting to build between themselves and the New York Knicks. So what would it take to give up that lead that the Bucks currently have? We'll go through some of that and take a look at the latest projections after this on Bucks Talk.
You're listening to Bucks Talk. This is Bucks Talk.
Bucks take down the 76ers tonight, 114-105. The defense holds Philly to 44 points in the second half, and more impressively in that mix, Tyrese Maxey scored 12 points in the second half after an 18-point outburst in the first half, but just 1 point in the fourth quarter. A.J. Green was matched up with him at times. It wasn't entirely A.J. Green. That's the other thing that we do need to give some attention to is what we continue to see from A.J. Green. That is the player we've heard Doc Rivers mention he may be surprised by the most. He's mentioned the toughness that A.J. Green brings defensively, and I think a lot of times A.J. Green has been labeled as a bad defender. I think part of that is just what we assume. When you think about guys that look like A.J. Green and that shoot, you automatically assume they're out there just for that reason. Well, he can't be all that good of a defender. A.J. Green, I think, has more than held his own on the defensive end of the floor this season. He is tough. He does not beat himself. You've got to take it to him. And again, you need one of these young guys. Doc Rivers has acknowledged that. He has said that from day one. We're going to need one of these guys, whether it's for a quarter, a game, whatever it is. We're going to need one of these guys at times moving into the postseason and even in the playoffs. You think about guys that have gone on to swing a playoff game with some of their performances. One of those young guys is going to be asked to do that, or maybe more fairly, be put in a position to have that opportunity. AJ Green, to me, is the most likely guy, not only for what we've seen in terms of Doc's reliance on him and clearly the trust that Doc Rivers has in AJ Green, but AJ Green's shooting. That skill set may be the best individual skill set that any of those three young players possess. Marjon Beauchamp, Andre Jackson Jr., and AJ Green. You know about the defense that Andre Jackson Jr. brings. Arguably the best perimeter defender that the Bucks have on this roster. He certainly was, I think you could say, before the acquisition of Pat Beverly. That's what he's bringing, is the defense. Offense is still a work in progress for Andre Jackson Jr. Marjon Beauchamp probably has a more rounded offense than any of these three players. The defense not quite to the level that we've seen from Andre Jackson Jr. And then you have AJ Green, who we've known from day one can shoot. But we've seen when called upon more and more, the defense, again, more than hold its own. And if AJ Green is going to give you that defensively, his shooting is going to buy him more floor time, and his shooting is elite enough that it can make an impact in the postseason. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head to the phone lines and start things with Will I.M. What's going on tonight, Will?
Hey, Justin. Hey, another massive Bucks win. Also, big shout-out to all the people that do call into the show. I love their takes as well. But, hey, Justin, got three quick points here. Felt so good to sweep the Sixers this year. You know, obviously, a number or a stat that really doesn't matter, but it felt great. Like, leading off of your point with A.J. Green, really pleased to see that our coaches have allowed him to kind of just shell into the mix. He's been doing such a great job on the defensive end. I see that Doc is rewarding him with that offensive ability. And I'm going to be frank, man. Every time AJ puts the ball up, it looks like it's going to go in. The shot looks on point. It looks like it's going to drop every time. And from not being able to have someone like that, like you said, the young guys, he's coming in right when we need him. And my last point, Justin, before I head on out of here, kind of a weird complaint, but during the third quarter when we started that kind of comeback, Coach Rivers elected not to have an actual point guard. I think he chose Connaughton, Green, Portis, pretty much anyone that couldn't dribble the ball, and you kind of saw us kind of get our track stuck in mud. But once the team kind of figured it out, oh, man, it just was a race to the end of watching us just pull up on that lead. And, you know, it also does help when we just can't miss from outside as well, man. Thanks so much for taking my call, Justin, and go Bucks.
Yeah, and that's the other big part of it is Pat Connaughton and A.J. Green, if it weren't for the final 20 seconds, roughly, when A.J. Green was lifted in favor of Pat Beverly, that duo would have been on the floor together for the last 15 and a half, nearly 16 minutes of the game. The duration of the fourth quarter and the last few minutes of the third quarter is what you saw from Pat Connaughton and A.J. Green. And we've seen more and more Pat. I do find it funny that all of the negativity we heard about Pat Connaughton and the what value is – I was asked by a few people, what value is Pat Connaughton bringing to the team this year? Pretty quiet. I haven't heard very much of that these past few weeks. Pat Connaughton has been very good for this team from January 1st on. One of your best three-point shooters, I think, tonight, when you look at the stat sheet, it was a vintage Pat Connaughton game where he did enough offensively. He was seemingly everywhere. The point production, the rebounds, the assists, everything that he brought tonight, Pat Connaughton, huge for this team. Bobby Portis did not have a great first half, and Doc Rivers talked about that as well. That's the big part is Giannis is number three in the league in terms of discrepancy between home and road scoring. It's actually better on the road than it is at home. Bobby Portis is not in the top five, but Bobby Portis has been one of those other guys that we've mentioned this a number of times this season. His point production and his efficiency are both increased at home. He feeds off of the crowd. He's been the guy that has led the charge for the bench. When you don't see any production from the bench, it means Bobby Portis is not having a good game. And that's what it was trending towards in the first half. He finished the game with 8 points, but just 2 points in the first half. And as Doc Rivers mentioned, you know, there are a lot of things that didn't really go our way in the first half of this game. And he thought part of it was Bobby Portis, that guys were playing pretty tough on Bobby. He had a couple of turnovers, and he almost felt as if they were getting under his skin. He's proud of Bobby because they sped Bobby up in the first half. They got under his skin a little bit. He had to catch up. He had to catch himself. And in the second half, he really helped us, and he was terrific. And that much was clear as you watched the game. It was evident first half and second half wasn't as drastic as we've seen in other games this season, not just for Bobby Portis, for the team as a whole. But they were two very different versions, the way the Bucks played in the first half, the way they played in the second half. And I thought, number one, you saw much more ball movement. Philadelphia, we talked about this before the game, the danger that they pose, and Nick Nurse talked about this before the game as well, is, you know, without Joel Embiid, that's 35 points out of the lineup. And since the All-Star break, we've played, what, 4 or 5 games without Tyrese Maxey. That's another 25-plus points out of the lineup. We're talking about 60 to 65 points out of the lineup. We haven't really been able to replace that. So how we've had to replace that, essentially, is with defense. And, you know, we have to be a team that kind of junks it up, and we win by playing defense. Hardest thing to do is scoring. We got to get a little scrappier on defense. We did that in those games against the Knicks. They did it to us as well, but we've had to switch to a style of grind-it-out play. So you knew there was that coming in, and it's a Sixers team that does get their hands on a lot of loose balls. They force some turnovers. They get steals. They have active hands. Bucks had 19 turnovers in that last matchup between these two teams a couple of weeks ago in Philadelphia. That was really the only blemish in a pretty good win for the Bucks. 19 turnovers. They had 10 in the first half tonight, 5 in the second half. But I thought the big difference was more iso ball, more back downs, more forcing things, and less movement with the ball. Sixers, if you're going to do that, are going to get their hands on the ball, and we saw that quite a bit. Giannis with 5 first-half turnovers, dribbling into some of those traps, and the Sixers forcing turnovers. That's what kick-started their offense. It is a rough half-court offense as they play without Joel Embiid, but the Bucks helped them out with those turnovers, creating fast break opportunities and getting things going there. Cold shooting as well from the Bucks after a pretty hot start. That kick-started the Sixers as well, because those long rebounds kick-start your offense and juice things on the other end of the floor. So all of those things were converging against the Bucks. They did a good enough job of not losing hold of the rope and staying in this game, and they played much different in the second half, and that proved to be the story in this one. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. We'll update you on that score in the Knicks game, but I mentioned, look, what would need to take place for the Bucks to hold off the New York Knicks? They're in a very good spot with 15 games remaining and holding the tiebreaker, and one of those games is against the New York Knicks. If the Knicks want to climb out of the 4 spot and move up onto that 2-3 line, they absolutely have to win that final game they have left against the Bucks this season. But what else would need to happen? We'll take a look at that and what the numbers say is most likely to happen for some of these seeds. We'll do that after this on Bucks Talk.
The Hardwood Homilies continue after this. This is Bucks Talk. This is Bucks Talk.
114-105, the final here. Bucks take down the 76ers tonight. And with the win, the Bucks again, 43-24. They've moved past momentarily the Cleveland Cavaliers for second place in the Eastern Conference. Cavs are 42-24. They do not play tonight. The Knicks are playing tonight. And they are blowing out the Portland Trail Blazers late in the third quarter. Blazers have scored 63 points with just 2 minutes left in the third. So that Knicks defense is at it again. And I mentioned this earlier in the week. OG Anunoby is back. He made his return earlier this week. The Knicks with OG Anunoby on the floor prior to that injury. They had him for 14 games. They went 12-2. They had the eighth best offense in the league and the best defense in the league in those 14 games with OG Anunoby. In the games played without him, the Knicks went 8-10. And their offense and defense both slid down near 20. So I'm not saying it's all OG Anunoby, but it clearly works. And he makes up a lot for that team, especially on the defensive end. They're now 13-2 with a win in his return and appear to be headed towards 14-2, now up 20 on the Blazers with just a minute left in the third quarter. So it does appear the Knicks are going to be 39-27 on the season. That will put them 3.5 games back of the Bucks in the standings, but again, it's 3 games in the loss column, essentially 4, with the Bucks holding the head-to-head tiebreaker. So, in these final 15 games, which again, are going to be challenging for the Bucks, with that remaining schedule coming into play tonight, it was the fourth most difficult schedule left in the league. It's still the fourth most challenging schedule left in the league that the Bucks have. Trails the Charlotte Hornets, the Utah Jazz, and Sunday's opponent, the Phoenix Suns. The Knicks, for contrast, have the 20th most difficult schedule remaining in the league this season. The Cleveland Cavaliers are 18. All of these teams in the Eastern Conference playoff race, they're all well below the Bucks. Cavs 18, Pacers 19, Knicks are 20th. Even this 76ers team, it's an incredibly difficult stretch they're in right now, 24th. Miami Heat are 28th. The Magic are 25th. The Celtics have the easiest schedule left in the league. So it's all of these teams in the bottom 10 or close to the bottom 10. And then you have the Bucks in the top 5 with the fourth most challenging schedule left. So all of that being said, the Knicks appear to be headed towards 39-27. With those games left, with that schedule that the Bucks have left. And again, it starts on Sunday with the Phoenix Suns coming here to Milwaukee. Then you get 2 days off before going to Boston to take on the Celtics. Then you have night 2 of a back-to-back at home against the Brooklyn Nets. Then you get 2 days off once more and host the Oklahoma City Thunder. Then the Lakers come to town 2 days after that. Then you're in New Orleans against the Pelicans, who again have moved up in the West to number 5. Hawks on the road, Wizards on the road. Those close out March and start April. And then from there on out, the Grizzlies at home, the Raptors at home. That game against the New York Knicks, April 7th at home. That is a big one. The Celtics at home and the Orlando Magic at home. A 5-game homestand before going to Oklahoma City to play the Thunder in your penultimate game of the regular season. And you wrap up the regular season in Orlando against the Magic. So all told, the schedule the Bucks have left right now features just four teams. Four of those final 15 games are against teams that likely will not qualify for the postseason. So let's say, knowing all of that, those four games become all the more important. Right, you got to win those games you're going to be favored in, given that schedule that you have left. So let's say the Bucks go 9-6 in these final 15 games. That would put them at 52-30 on the season. If the New York Knicks played at the pace they have been playing at with OG Anunoby on the floor and go 13-3, they would finish 52-30. And again, Bucks hold the head-to-head tiebreaker. Even if they lose that game on April 7th, they don't lose the tiebreaker. Right? That'll put them at 3 wins out of 5 games against the Knicks this season. So if the Knicks go 13-3, the Bucks go 9-6, those two teams have finished tied, the Bucks will finish in front of the Knicks by way of those head-to-head matchups. So that's how important those early games in the season were against the New York Knicks, that it means the Knicks got to play at an incredibly high level. And I don't think 9-6 is asking much, even with that challenging schedule, because, again, nine of those final 15 games are here at home, including a five-game homestand. And, you know, I mentioned this once before, that game April 9th against the Boston Celtics, I'm not saying you're not going to see anyone for the Celtics, but there is a chance you won't see everyone for the Celtics. Less than a week left in the regular season at that point, the Celtics are going to have the Eastern Conference clinched by then, right? The Celtics are going to probably clinch the Eastern Conference within the first couple of days of April. So you may not see all or any of the regulars in that game. That would make that game all the more important. That game against the Oklahoma City Thunder, your final game against the Thunder, second to last game of the season, you could see the same thing there potentially. But the Western Conference is much tighter at the top than it is in the East. But again, 9-6 is incredibly doable, even with a tough schedule. You go 9-6, it puts a lot of pressure on the Knicks, and it starts to wall that off. And if you win that game on April 7th, it is probably over from there, regardless of what the Knicks do. So that's going to be a huge game. But keeping serve in those games played between now and then is going to be even more important for the Bucks. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. When we return, we'll take a look at the latest projections. Some of them may surprise you. We'll get into that conversation after this on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk. Jay. Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
So we mentioned the Bucks still have the fourth most difficult schedule left in the league. It is the second most difficult schedule of any team in the Eastern Conference, but it is by far the most difficult schedule left for any Eastern Conference playoff team. All that said, despite the difference between the Bucks' schedule and the Cavs' schedule, despite the fact that at this moment the Cavaliers have a better divisional record and by way of that would have the tiebreaker if the Bucks and Cavs finish tied in the standings. The scenario in play for the Bucks, or what they need, is two losses. They need the Cavs to lose both of their remaining games against the Indiana Pacers. The first of those is on Monday in Indianapolis. So despite all of that, right now by the numbers, the Bucks have a better percentage chance at the 2 seed than they do getting the 3 seed, and a better chance at the 2 seed than the Cleveland Cavaliers do. A nearly 50% chance for the Bucks to finish with the second best record in the East. 47% chance at the 2 seed. It's 46%, so it's essentially flat, but slightly higher for the Bucks than the Cavs. But all told, it's an 85% chance that the Bucks finish in the top three. So just a 15% chance they slide out of there. Again, the scenario for that, the Bucks would need to go something like 6-9 or worse in their final 15 games to slide that far in the standings. But in terms of if you finish second, who are you playing? Who are those teams in the play-in tournament? Well, right now, the Philadelphia 76ers and the Miami Heat are those two teams that would be in the play-in tournament as the 7 and 8 seeds. Miami Heat have a very, very soft schedule the rest of the way. Easier than the Indiana Pacers, even. So there is a chance Miami can continue to move up. So do the Orlando Magic. And that's the tricky part, is I think every single Bucks fan, if you were surveyed, who's your preferred matchup in the first round of the playoffs, I think it would be nearly unanimous, if not unanimous. The Orlando Magic would be the choice. It certainly seems as though the Magic are going to finish in the top five, given where they currently sit at 38-28. They're a game in front of the Pacers, who are sixth, but they have one of the easiest schedules remaining in the league. So it's seeming more and more unlikely that the Magic are going to be your first-round draw. Doesn't mean it couldn't be the Knicks. Doesn't mean it couldn't be the Magic. It could be the Pacers, the Sixers, the Miami Heat. Everything is on the table with how bunched up the Eastern Conference standings have been this season. But there are a couple of big games taking place in these next couple of days, in addition to that game that we mentioned that I think all Bucks fans will have an eye on Monday night in Indianapolis between the Pacers and the Cavaliers. We'll get into those upcoming matchups in these coming days and wrap up the show after this on Bucks Talk.
You're listening to Bucks Talk Night. The round ball repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
Ain't no way they can stop me now.
9-point win for the Bucks at Fiserv Forum. They begin a stretch of play, playing 5 of 6 here at home. 2 days off now before a big matchup with the Phoenix Suns on Sunday. A couple of big games, more than a couple. A couple of days here with big games coming up. So the first of those is on Saturday. And the one to keep an eye on there, the New York Knicks in Sacramento against the Kings. Of course, the Bucks play the following day at home against the Phoenix Suns. But on Monday night, I mentioned that matchup between the Cavs and the Pacers. Two other games to keep an eye on. The Heat in Philadelphia against the Sixers, and the Knicks in San Francisco against the Warriors. On March 20th, Wednesday, you have the Bucks in Boston to take on the Celtics. That same night, the Heat are in Cleveland for the Cavaliers, the Sixers at the Phoenix Suns, and a couple of other Knicks-centric games, or one other Knicks-centric game. Knicks in Denver on March 21st, and on March 22nd, the Cavaliers and the Timberwolves. So some big games coming up in the Eastern Conference to keep an eye on, in addition to those games that the Bucks play. Sunday afternoon, our next broadcast, a noon tip time, 11:30 is when the pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk to you then.